Before we get started with this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including iTunes, the Stitcher Radio app for your smart device, CairoRadio.com, and the all-new Adore Network at Adore.fm. Let's get started with the episode. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 266 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks. We've got a wonderful show for you this week. Shannon and the Clams. You'll be joining us here in the backyard shortly. Shannon and Cody of the band. They were up here in Seattle for undisclosed purpose. And they were nice enough to come up and borrow somebody's car and come up to the backyard. They're from L.A., you see. Or not L.A., Oakland. They're from Oakland, California. And they came up to the backyard to chat for a little bit. And it's a good chat, man. I usually don't do, I usually try to steer clear of having multiple people on the show. I like keeping it a one-on-one, but this one, I had to make an exception for it because they're both integral to the band. They both share songwriting duties. This new album that they have coming out, oh my God, Gone by the Dawn. It's coming out soon. When's it coming out? I think it's the 18th. Is that right? Oh, man. I didn't have that pulled up, man. Crap. Maybe we'll have that for you, that correct date at the end of the show there. I've been trying to get Shannon and the Clams on the show for, like, probably a little under 2 years. I've been a fan of theirs for that amount of time. And every time they come to Seattle, I try to get them on the show, and they're always just booked solid. So this was a treat for me. I think you're really gonna love the music that we're gonna be playing for you this episode. Get your hands on that record. Let's see if I click on this. Expected release September 11th. There we are. Come on. I got my shit together. Come on, people. Don't judge me. But yeah, huge fan of this band, and I think you will be as well. So, like we said in the pre-roll, we are now available on Spreaker.com over at the new network Adore. Right? Okay? We all got that? You can find all sorts of shows, all sorts of great stuff at Adore.fm. We're really stoked to be a part of this new network. Nothing has really changed, although we're finding out that we may have to totally rebuild the website and put everything back up so we can get our numbers correct, man. So apparently I didn't have my shit in order on the back end of our website. And so everything's coming from all sorts of places. So if you stream the show, if that's how you get the Air Raid podcast to your ears, if you are a streamer, what we want you to do is actually stream the show from Adore.fm. Okay. So we can get better, some knowledge on, where the show's coming from, where you guys are at, and, not where you guys are at, but, how many of you are out there, okay, that are streaming the show. If you download the show, nothing should change for you guys. You guys just keep on downloading the show, but if you stream it, please go to adore.fm and stream the show, from that one, all right? Or go to Spreaker.com. You can find it on there as well. Okay, that's what I have for you here, folks. All right, so let's get right into it, shall we? We're going to be featuring music from the new album out on September 11th by Shannon and the Clams. It's called Gone by Dawn, and let's see if we can pull... Let's see, what song should we go with here to start thing? What's a really good one? Point of Being Right. This is a fantastic, fantastic song. I know you guys are just going to love it. Oh, man. Just takes me right back, man, to the 50s, to the 1950s. Although I didn't live back then. But, you know, makes me feel like I'm in there. I got the big glasses on. I think I could fit in. Quite nice. Quite nice. All right, Shannon and the Clams, the new album, Gone by the Dawn. This one is called... Point of Being Right, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears when we return. Enjoy. I turned on your album.
Yes.
Did I mean what?
Very funny.
That it was very funny?
Very funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And nobody's going to know what we're talking about because it's not even on the recording.
Oh, my cool.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
That's right.
Very funny.
That's all you need to know, folks. So I really enjoy music that can basically transfer me into a different era in time. Mm. And I put your album on today while I was driving around.
Cool.
And it instantly, you know, transferred my body and soul into the 1950s.
Really?
And then at the moment that the was oh god, no.
Was this the first time you heard it?
The new album?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
Just a refresher.
But just a refresher to get ready for you guys to come over. And I turned it on, and about two songs in, a 57 Chevy drove by.
Ooh, babies. Mm.
And then a 1962 T-Bird.
What's going on?
Hard top.
Ooh, were they together?
No, they weren't. And they were all just cherry, right? They were just, you know, bright and shiny. The 57 Chevy was like a teal color, you know? And then the T-Bird was red. And I was just like, man, this is perfect. This is working out great.
Oh, yeah.
Shannon and Cody of Shannon and the Clams joining me here in the backyard. Thank you guys so much for coming.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it here.
Good. Yeah. You want to stay?
I could definitely stay here.
Oh, yeah? I would totally camp out. here.
I have been trying for many years to, because I always want to be the cool guy. Like the bands that come into this, into the backyard here, I've been trying for years to say, if you ever need a place to stay,
yeah,
you're welcome.
Do you mean it though?
And I think it weirds people out. Yeah, of course I mean it.
I doubt it weirds them out. Coming as a person that is constantly needing to find a place to stay, it's more like, okay, he says that, but does he mean
does
it?
He actually?
Yeah, and people like, say that a lot.
Okay,
and like,
do they really?
Don't mean it. Maybe.
I'm going to come to Seattle maybe 3 times, hopefully more in a year.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I haven't talked to him in 6 months, it might be weird if I'm like, hey, can we sleep in the backyard?
Shannon, this is going to be on tape.
this is not on tape.
Can, yeah, it is.
So, I mean, well.
Yeah, digitape.
Digitape.
We'll,
you guys are welcome to come back. I already like you.
Okay.
Cool.
A lot. And yeah, I like your music, and I want you to think I'm cool.
All right.
So that's the whole point.
All you have to do is ask.
Do you have any money?
Will you think I'm cool?
That helps.
You see the size of these microphones? Do you think I have any money left over?
No.
It all goes into microphones. So the new album out now, right?
Or is it Friday?
It's out Friday?
Yeah.
I'm
scared. Is perfect, man.
Yeah.
Are you guys excited?
Yeah.
Why are you scared?
It's just scary. It's really scary.
They're like, yeah.
It's like, I think it's always scary to put out a new album because, you know, overall it seemed like people really liked the last one. I liked the last one. And the one before, people liked that. It's just, you know, you're putting yourself out there again. It's kind of like, I feel like I'm standing there with this big robe on that's flapping open.
And you're not wearing anything underneath?
And I'm hoping I like get enough and am able to tie the robe back closed. Whatever. That's
cool.
I feel vulnerable.
I get it.
And it's like an emotional roller coaster making the album, and it's super apparent.
Yeah. Well, let's put a pin in that. We'll come back. We'll come back to this.
Let's wrap that up. Put it in the trash.
Yikes.
No, but I'm a big fan. I've actually been working with Jason Baxter to get you guys on this show for like the last year and a half.
Baxter, what's going on?
Well, you guys have always been too busy.
Yeah, busy. Oh. Like the last 9 months or something, we've just been doing this record and nothing else. And haven't been traveling really, but.
And the record, by the way, is called Gone by Dawn, and you can get it on Friday.
Yeah.
Gone by the Dawn.
Whoa. That just like, whoa. This makes so much more sense now.
Keep looking at it, and I'm like, is there supposed to be a the in there? Like,
I don't know
if that's right. Is that right? It sounds right, but now I'm looking at it too many times, and I've read it over and over, and I'm like, I don't know.
See, I looked at it. So someone texted me the other day. Yesterday they were saying how much they like it, but they called it "Gone by the Dun." Like autocorrect changed it.
Dun.
Autocorrect. Dun
autocorrect would have helped you with that sentence as well.
Yeah.
Would it?
Wow. Is that it the always next changes? Like
it always changes tour to your, and it drives me crazy.
Ugh. Yeah.
And it always changes van. Like I'm saying tour van. So always saying your can.
Really?
Can sure always. Man. Always goes your to can.
Doesn't make any sense.
No.
You gotta save the word into the thing.
I save it, I think.
You press like the check mark or something.
But tour
like that,
right? is a real word. It's not like a band name.
Well,
that
sure, yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Been having a really good time with my predictive text my thing. Because I didn't really use it before, but now I figured out how to like you'll put in a word and then it'll guess 3 words. It's like you're probably gonna wanna say either hang or
boobs or butts.
Yeah, one of the, like it picks the words.
Balls.
I put in one
of the words that you use all the time. Yeah. Right, yeah.
I put in the word super the other day, and then it followed it with, these were my options, fucking, disappointed, and Mario.
Really?
Three options.
Super fucking disappointed Mario. Yeah. That's what you should have just gone with that.
1, 2, 3. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't have to think anymore. I don't think it was any of those that I wanted. I don't remember what it was. Whatever. Super something.
Good story, man. That was funny.
Yeah.
That
was super funny. Duper. Another burger place.
Yeah, it was. That's what it was. Super duper.
Super duper. Where's that? California?
Mill Valley, California.
Okay.
I didn't like it.
And you guys live down there, right? You guys are LA based?
Oakland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A little farther north.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was that good.
You're insane.
It was also
the super duper burger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was full of teenagers. Which,
well, that's going to make anything taste terrible.
Yeah, it was bad.
That doesn't go. Come on. Like, well, you can't judge a place by the patrons, right? It's judging a book by its cover.
I didn't like the food.
Okay.
How's that?
That's good. Okay. But is there a reason? Like, what's the reason behind it?
It was like basic.
Okay.
But they must be different now.
Too basic?
No. Yeah, it was like bad fries.
And then
soggy fries?
No, just like overly cooked, like hard.
I don't even want to talk about it now.
Kind of burned.
That's bad.
The burger was like super overcooked, like really well done.
Okay, it sounds like you had a total asshole making your meal.
I think it's just like that now.
So, Shannon, you like this place?
It's good. I only ate there once, but it was great.
I only ate there once, and it was bad.
You were on the one on day. You were on the one off day.
Yeah.
Usually they're just mediocre.
Or
they have a lot of great pickles that they make there. They have a variety of sauces for free.
I didn't see it.
Beyond ketchup.
I saw ketchup and mustard.
Beyond ketchup and mustard.
That's all they had. Maybe when it's high school lunch time or junior high lunch
or whatever.
Oh,
they just make everything shitty.
Yeah, they're just like, ugh. Or just, the kids are here. Just make whatever. They don't care.
I found that makes a difference sometimes. You got to go. If it's like a super popular place, you got to go during the off hours.
During Adult Swim.
Right?
Yeah.
Adult Swim.
Exactly. There you go. Right. There you go. So let's talk about you guys just a little bit. Like I said, you guys are based out of Oakland, California.
Yeah.
And I did read up on you just a little bit, probably just two sentences.
Cool.
You know, I really like to do my research.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Hard worker over there.
I wouldn't.
That's right. You guys were originally, did you meet in Portland? Did I read that correctly?
No, I did not read that.
No. Okay.
Totally different band.
There we go. Cool.
That was Sharon and the Shrimp.
Oh, no. Yeah, they're from Portland. I grew up in Portland. I don't know. I don't think they would put that in there.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Portland, Oregon?
We went to art school in Oakland.
Oh, okay. And that's where you met.
Yeah, yeah, it was a vibrant community.
So were you born and raised in Portland?
Yeah, OHSU. That's where I was born. That's the
hospital.
Yeah, what is that?
The Oregon Health Science University. Okay. I thought I might just drop that, and you're like,
no,
in Washington,
not at all.
You're like, oh yeah, I know.
Oh,
all the
of course,
hospitals.
Yeah, I know all the hospitals in Portland, Oregon.
Oregon, Oregon. Well, OSU.
OHSU.
Never mind.
Doesn't matter. It's a very big deal in Portland.
Okay.
But it's weird. There's like a thing. My mom used to work at a shrine. Sorry. Did you want to talk about something? Okay. My mother worked at the Shriners Hospital for children. And OHSU and Shriners and all of the hospitals are up on top of a weird giant hill that's like on a crazy fault line.
Okay.
In Portland, because the land was like owned by the state or something, and it was free, so they put all the hospitals up there, and people would drive this like weird, like my mom would drive this weird windy road all the way up to the top to get there, and it was like probably the most dangerous, difficult to get to place.
Sounds like a horror movie.
Yeah.
That's where like the asylum should be.
Yeah. It felt like that. But now they built this insane like gondola thing that goes down from the river, like on a cable all the way up the hill. So all the employees like ride that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool. But I remember when it was...
Not if you have an emergency.
Well, that's true.
And you're like,
slow.
Yeah.
Move it, gondola.
Damn.
Terry, press the fast button.
Well.
So growing up in Portland, Oregon. And Shannon, where you hail from originally?
I'm from Napa County, California.
Okay. So you didn't go far.
You haven't gone very far.
I went emotionally very far. I know. It was a big deal when I moved to.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
a big deal when you moved to Oakland?
For me, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're just kind of a small town kind of person?
I guess so. I mean, when I was a kid, I thought only rich people moved away. And somewhere like visiting LA or New York was like a total fantasy. Like, if I'm ever a rich businesswoman that wears pumps, I'm definitely going to go there someday.
McDonald's CEO.
But also never thought, yeah, no. When I, my mom asked me and my brothers one time what we wanted to do when we grew up.
Uh-huh.
And my oldest brother said he wanted to be a judge. And my little brother...
He's twisted.
...said he wanted to be a shoeshine boy.
Oh, my God. And
that was the dream? Like total, how old was he?
Opposite.
He was like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So he was 4. Dan was probably 8. So I was like 6. I said I wanted to work at McDonald's or be a cheerleader.
For the pretty Dallas bad, Cowboys?
Pretty low goals. No, just a high school cheerleader, I guess. Huh.
So why were you growing up in like a situation where you guys had never even visited L.A.? It seems like that you grew up kind of close.
You went to Disneyland?
Right?
When I was older, yeah. I mean, it's 6 hours away. I don't know, when I was...
Oh, that's a long drive. Yeah, yeah, that's a long drive.
With
when
kids?
I was a kid, we lived on like a little farm, and my dad was a firefighter.
Uh-huh.
And so he was gone like a lot of the time. He worked for CDF, which was the California Department of Forestry.
Oh, okay.
And for some reason in that period of time, there was just like terrible drought in California and fires everywhere. So he was gone a lot.
Yeah.
And,
God, I bet.
Yeah. I don't know. We would travel like an hour to my grandma's house and go camping and
uh-huh,
stuff.
Uh-huh.
But we didn't really go anywhere too far. Never flew with them or anything.
Yeah.
So
moving was a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, definitely things changed as I got older. Like my parents divorced and then we started branching out and trying different things. But definitely not a whole lot of travel or. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like kind of the same situation, except my parents were still together, but they, you know, we grew up in this really small town, and like I was freaked out when I went away to college. And it was only to another small town in Washington.
Wow.
Like totally freaked out.
Yeah.
And then I moved to Seattle, and that was even a bigger, like, you know, mind-blowing experience.
Yeah.
For a small town person.
Yeah.
That's so strange. I've never thought about this before, but because I grew up in like suburbs, like 10 miles south of Portland, but any chance that I had, like I could scrounge up enough change and could skip school or something, or take the bus into the city, into Portland.
See, like, dude, even taking the bus freaked me out.
I wasn't allowed to take the bus.
You weren't allowed to?
I didn't take the bus till I was like 16.
Whoa. I was like 10 into Portland.
We took the school bus. Oh my God. We took the school bus. Like my mom thought that the buses were really dangerous, but we lived in the sticks, like in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
It's different now. It's not as rural, but
well, see, there was no buses where I was at either.
Yeah.
But like when I finally took a bus, I was still like in my 20s. I was afraid of taking the bus because I thought that I would get on the wrong bus.
Yeah.
And then end up like way fucking far away from where I needed to be.
And like kidnapping was such a hot topic and very popular amongst kids to talk about.
Oh,
so I was always in fear that I would get kidnapped.
Real.
That's like kind of a small town thing, right? It kind of breeds that fear a little bit.
It does, but you know, it's that actually a classmate of mine did get kidnapped. She got returned as well, but
oh wow,
scary. So that made it even.
Did
like
you know her?
Yeah, we were in the same class.
No kidding. Yeah. How old?
I almost got kidnapped, I think, by the same person.
No way.
Yeah.
My how old, mom how old were you?
Chased him away with a shotgun.
How old were you?
8. Maybe
8 years old.
8 or 9.
And where was it? Like, it was at your house?
Yeah. We lived out in the country, and I was, like, up and playing in a black walnut tree with my little brother and his friend. And some dude just came up to the tree and was like, asking me to come down. He didn't speak really good English, so it was hard to get what he was saying. He was just trying to motion me to get out of the tree. And then I'm thinking it would be okay because it's the three of us. The two boys bail out of the tree and like run inside and leave me by myself.
What?
So I just climbed like further up to the top. And then they went and ran inside and hid in a closet in my mom's house. And she came and opened up the closet and was like, what are you boys doing in here?
Yeah.
And they're like, there's a guy kidnapping Shannon. So she got his shotgun and ran outside and he drove off. And we got in the car and tried to chase him down.
Oh, my God.
My mom pulls
That's kind of intense, man.
That one's intense. But my mom pulls out the shotgun for all kinds of reasons.
I've never seen it. But
like what else?
She doesn't have a shotgun anymore.
Oh.
If she did, she'd pull it out. She's like dying.
Like if the cops come over because you're too loud, bring the shotgun out.
Oh, she would. She hates cops.
Cool.
She's been trying to get guns. I don't even know why she wants guns. But she,
wait, why doesn't she have one anymore? What happened?
I think one of my brothers borrowed this. This happens a lot. She has lots of weapons, and then my brothers borrow them and lose them.
Cool.
Yeah, like she has this handgun.
Yeah,
that was our grandpa's like gun. It was a remake of a gun from like the 20s or something.
Okay.
And she keeps it in this lockbox that she lost the key to, so it doesn't even effing lock.
You need another gun to blast it open.
That's right.
Get the gun.
That's I gotta the mattress get the gun.
Other gun.
So one of my brothers borrowed it, and he shot this like novelty gun, and it like totally blasted his hand. Like, got
I don't think you're supposed to actually shoot those things.
You're not, but right? He did, and she would have.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't. So much. God, they're weird. She loves knives. My dad. I get knives for like every holiday from my dad. I actually just had my knife taken away today at the airport. I had a dream. I had a dream. I remembered to take it out of my purse, but
it happened
just
to you.
Didn't.
So many times.
This is my fourth Christmas knife that's been taken away.
Been confiscated.
The green
TSA.
One?
Really?
We just
I'm beginning to think they have a little shrine of me in the back office with all my knives.
How big was this knife?
Got another one.
Just a little canoe today. Knife.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The perfect size.
Yeah.
I'm so bummed.
For shanking a bitch?
Yeah, or for like peeling an apple or like
whittling a fairy.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like,
yeah.
Or shanking.
Whatever or shanking. Come on.
Yeah, but shanking implies that you're using a homemade blade, right?
Oh, right. That's right. A shank is actually whatever. Something that you
it's like
fashion.
A crude knife.
Have you ever heard of a stinger?
Ooh. Is that the little needle-like knife or something like that?
Mm-mm.
A stinger?
Stinger is like another prison term. I worked in a mental institution for a long time, and they would make shanks out of like the craziest shit ever. Anything you could see, they would like find
toothbrushes.
Really anything. Brilliant,
wow.
Really. Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, toothbrush is a common one.
Uh huh.
But no, a stinger is a way to light your cigarettes or start fires, depending on what you want to do with it.
What?
It's just like you steal little tiny metal scraps or like bits of foil and like smash it all together, and then you like literally stab it into a
light socket,
an outlet,
an outlet.
Yeah.
A stinger.
And it makes a spark. It's dangerous.
I got a new stinger.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I shall call him Sting.
Sting. I just saw there's this really cool, total weirdo like punk tattoo artist in LA named John from Texas. And I watched him build a prison tattoo gun out of a toothbrush and like a hobby motor that he pulled out of something and a guitar string and a mechanical pencil.
Whoa.
And a nail.
Jeez.
And some like
some major ingenuity, man.
It's cool.
Yeah.
And they're really crazy because they're in a 9-volt battery. Because they're like really portable and they're not loud. Like if you ever heard a tattoo gun, like they're super loud. But it's almost silent and it's like light and portable and it's cool.
Did you see him work?
Yeah. He works really fast.
Did he do? Like he really did light. A. He did a tattoo.
He like
with
built
this
it
thing?
And then did a tattoo with it.
Really,
it's cool.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I guess it's like you know the prison blueprint for. I mean that stuff even seems hard to get in prison, but maybe not.
Oh, they can.
I don't
get, like,
know,
man.
Anything.
I don't. It seems like it
we've
seems
all seen
like
Orange
get,
is the New Black.
Right, right. Seems like you can get pretty much anything in prison.
Yeah,
you can.
Yes.
Yeah, I was talking to. I was talking to just a couple weeks ago. I was talking to. Chris from Meat Puppets.
Yeah.
And he was saying when he was in prison,
was
you know, there was
well, we don't need to know.
This is it was a heavy story,
okay,
man.
All right,
it was a really heavy story. If you want to hear it, you got to go back and listen to the show.
Yeah.
I'll tell you guys after the show if you don't want to listen to it, but so when he was in prison, he was a junkie And he actually got clean in prison.
Wow.
Because he kept himself away from it. He said it was everywhere in prison. Like, you could get any drug that you wanted.
A lot of people get addicted while they're in prison.
Yeah, yeah. And, it just seems like you can get anything there, man. It's crazy. It's insane.
You know, that doesn't seem so bad.
Maybe we should go. Prison seems like kind of a fun place.
Yeah.
Let's get past all the brutal beatings.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. So, Cody, what did you do?
What do you mean?
Shannon says she used to work at a frickin' insane asylum.
Oh, yeah.
Where did you work?
Oh, I worked at all kinds of... Okay. I started working when I was like 15, worked at an arts and crafts store. That was dull. And then I worked at Subway for... It was really weird. I started working there, and then like a few weeks later, they fired everyone, and they were like, someone's stealing money. We don't know who it is. And then they called me back like a month later and were like, do you want to come back and work for us? And I was like, okay. So I started working for them, and then like... The manager was super overworked, and after a few months, they were like, do you want to be the assistant manager? Do you want to do the schedule? And they like didn't really pay me anymore, but were giving me more stuff. And would basically run the store by myself from like 5 to midnight.
Yeah.
And could do whatever I wanted in there. And I...
could eat all the cold cuts.
I ate a lot of cookies, and I would make a giant cookie. You take all the frozen cookies and put them in a pile in the oven, and then you get a huge cookie. It's gross.
It doesn't taste as good?
No, it's weird. Something happens. Like the texture is like bad.
Reminds me of the Seinfeld episode where Kramer's like, you can't let the ice cream, the frozen yogurt melt because it changes the structural integrity.
The molecular structure. The funny thing is that I did start stealing money from there, even though like early on I wouldn't have. But
Cody,
at that point, like, I was there by myself every night, like 4 or 5 nights a week, and I was in charge of so much stuff, and I was like, it's pretty easy to like fake some paperwork and like take some of this cash out, and like found all these weird tricky ways, because they were paying me really... I was paying like $8 an hour or something.
That
like,
sucks.
This is terrible. So
right
I made a bunch of money stealing it from
just
there.
Spend it on just like candy.
Have you ever felt guilty about that?
No.
No?
I don't feel... No. It's such a racket. And like...
Yeah.
It's like franchise. It's horrible. It's
my first job, I was a lifeguard at a pool.
Whoa.
And then I got that job when I was like, I don't know, 15 or 16. And I would steal money from the cash register there.
Cool.
And like, I've always had this... a lot of guilt over it. Because my mind will constantly go back to these times when I've done dumb shit.
Sure.
And like, I'll just keep on remembering it and replaying it in my head. And this is one of those times where I would just like, I would take 50 cents out and go buy myself some tater skins in the vending machine or something like that. And then, you know, later in the night, I'd take 50 more cents, and then I'd take a dollar to get some red vines or something like that.
That's nothing.
I just felt so guilty.
But okay. So the cash register was for the snack shack.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But who were you paying it to? Oh, the vending machine.
Right.
Okay. I see. Because then I was imagining you taking the 50 cents out and then paying it to the
back
someone.
To the
I don't know.
To get a snack.
That's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Back to the pool. Somehow it ended up back at the pool.
Yeah.
I have a question. What did you eat at Subway? Did you make your own?
So it was weird. Like, when I started working there, I was vegan. And So, that was what I felt guilty about. I don't anymore, but was eating the cookies because they weren't vegan, but they were like, I was so bored and nothing to do. And I was, it looked so good. And I would eat up and I would be like, I'm just going to take one bite of this one and then put it down. And I'd come back and like eat it and then like keep eating it. And then I would eat like 5.
Right.
And then make the giant cookie later. But I used to make, I got really sick of, because when you work back there, you see how everything arrives and it's just like weird pre-sliced, like sealed in a vacuum sealed bag.
Right.
Yeah. And like everything's already pre-processed. Like, you don't know how it even got there.
The bread is like just like a rod of raw dough.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. It's like a frozen rod. And like, you go in the freezer and there's a box of them and you have to like dig claw at them with your hands to like break them out. And a lot of times they shatter
in half.
Right.
Get like scabs all over your hands. Ice scraping. It's like an Antarctic explorer or like an Arctic, like trying to dig in the... that's what I felt like. But it wasn't...
Gross.
Yeah.
Gross.
Once you're there for a while, like, you see everything, like, I don't want to eat this. So I would just bring like a huge jar of peanut butter with me and just make the most gigantic like 12-inch peanut butter sandwich. Because I just didn't. I mean, when you're vegan, you're like, oh, all I can eat is these horrible vegetables. That
horrible.
Are, like,
yeah.
Just so limp. And
lettuce,
like,
tomato, pickles.
Is bad.
Olives, man. Every time I go, I don't go to Subway anymore.
Good.
But when I used to go and I'd get like a veggie delight or something like that, and I'd ask for olives. You know, they kind of grab it with like kind of the palm of their fist and the tips of their fingers. It's like this special fucking way that they get
the
least amount of stuff into their hand. Then they just kind of sprinkle that on there. I'm like, can I get more olives?
Yeah.
And they do the same thing, but they get less.
Oh, yeah.
And it just gets less and less every time you ask for more.
Mm. It's like when you're being sucked into a black hole and every moment you're getting closer, but every moment time slows down a little bit more.
Exactly.
And so you like exponentially it gets slower and you never get to the
same. This is stressing
That's
me
some
out
interstellar
so bad.
Stuff the olives right there. That is, we need Matthew McConaughey to travel through there.
There was this guy that would come in on the weekend mornings and like come in with a crazy bicycle outfit on and biking cleats. And he would order this weird thing. He would get a salad bowl with only iceberg lettuce and then olives and then honey mustard. And I would put it on and he'd be like, can I get more? It was like what you were doing.
Right,
but I
right.
knew him after a while and I would just, okay, I got to drain this bottle on here. And then he would get rolled gold pretzels and sprinkle those on top. So it was iceberg lettuce and olives and rolled gold pretzels with
and
honey mustard sauce. That was his salad. And then you'd get a 44-ounce.
Did you put the pretzels on?
No. Okay. He did that himself.
That would be against the law.
He was a grown man. He could do that. And also, I wasn't authorized to pretzel it.
Yeah, there you go.
44-ounce Diet Coke. And then...
And you still remember this?
44 ounces?
Yeah.
Wow.
The big one.
He's a bicyclist.
Yeah. He was weird. He was coming in clacking with his cleats.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's do this. Let's take our second musical break.
Do you want to talk about music?
Yeah. Why don't we come back and we talk about the actual album?
Sure. Yeah.
Should we do that?
Okay.
Would that make you happy, Shannon?
No. I don't know.
What?
Nothing makes me happy.
I was going to say that. I've never been happy.
This is the song Corvette. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears when we return with special guests this week, Shannon and the Clams. Be back in a moment. Although I wasn't ready yet, I loved the leather on my buns. My God, we are the lucky.
Just waiting here.
So where did music start for you guys, and how did you guys meet in Oakland? How did that all come about? Who wants to start?
Me. I started when my dad was a musician and played in like country bands and like classic rock cover
guitar
band. Yeah, he played guitar.
Yeah.
So we always had guitars around, but I didn't play them when I was little because I was really into this weird Yamaha synthesizer that mm-hmm. I don't have no idea to this day why it was at our house. Like, I can't, no one played it except me. I don't know where it came from. I should find out actually. But it was
Little
like this
father,
really.
I prefer the synthesizer.
I did. But it wasn't, I didn't learn any sort of like, you know, like muscle finger skills for playing. I would just sort of mash one button.
Sure.
And then mess with the sound and just make like the most outlandish, like weird noises. And do
I
that
would
shit
love
for
to
hour.
Hear some early Cody keyboard music.
I didn't record any back then, but I started recording when I was like probably 12 or something. So I played keyboard for a while, and then I was like in the orchestra playing cello or something, but wasn't into that. Then I started.
Was that a forced instrument? Was that
no,
something
I
that
was just like,
mom and dad kind of.
No, I was like, I should try this. I'm going to see what this is like. And I don't know. It didn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then eventually, I think when I was like around 12 or something, started playing my dad's guitars, and then I would always ask him for lessons, but I think he didn't really know how to like teach someone because he was like self-taught and was like, I don't know, here's a chord book, just figure it out. So,
helpful.
Yeah. It was
thanks,
fine.
Dad.
I don't know. I mean, it was fine. So then I would just like look up, you know, find songs and learn how to play them. And, and then I played bass, and then I traded my bass to a friend for his drum set when I was probably like 15 or something.
Yeah.
Started playing drums. But yeah, when I was like 12, I would record stuff from this other keyboard we have. But I wanted to do multiple tracks, right? So I would like write a weird, I was like really into industrial music, like weird industrial synth stuff.
What kind of stuff? Like,
weird German, like industrial.
Kraftwerk? Like,
that came later. I wasn't a graphic, but like gnarly stuff like Skinny Puppy.
At 12?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever listen to Super Eternus? Is that what it's
called? I have no idea what that is.
No. But you know.
I don't really, because I never really listened to that kind of stuff.
No, so like,
I know Skinny Puppy.
Skinny Puppy, Ministry.
Sure.
Like, these are the more, like Unsterzende, No Bountain, and just like really dark, like industrial stuff. So I was like, in Nine Inch Nails, of course. That was the entry point.
Right.
I was like wearing my mom's sweaters and stirrup pants with holes in the butt when I was 12.
Cool.
And playing magic.
I was gothed out.
Did you do the whole thing? Like, you dress in all black, you paint your nails black and everything like that?
Yeah.
Good for you, man.
Good for you.
Way to live it.
My freak flag. Fly. I don't know. I mean, it's cool, but it's sort of like someone else designed it, you know? It's not your own thing. Right. You're just sort of like, oh, that's like the uniform I could put together.
Sure, sure.
It's, I don't know.
But that's like most every kid in like elementary school, junior high, dude.
You got it.
High school too. They're all finding themselves, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, I'd like write weird keyboard music like that. And then, so I'd record it all just on the left channel, and then I'd go back and record like another layer on the right channel of the tape, the cassette tape.
Yeah.
And I wish I had those tapes. I don't have those. And then later, then I got a computer and was like composing weird like techno stuff, like weird electro stuff on there that was like super complicated and insane.
Yeah.
But
you were just kind of figuring all this stuff out. You were doing it all by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Self-taught.
That's great. That's really cool. That's a great way to learn too.
I guess.
Yeah. Trial by fire, man.
Yeah.
Shannon, what about you? How did music kind of enter your life?
I'm a late bloomer.
Yeah.
I didn't start playing till I was 25.
Really?
Yeah.
And it was just straight to bass?
Yeah.
From there?
Yeah.
What brought
it
on?
Shannon the Clam started at the same time that I started playing.
Really?
Yeah. I don't, my boyfriend, actually, he lives in Seattle.
Yeah.
My high school boyfriend, Chris Brown, bought me this Dan Electro bass that I still play to this day.
Yeah.
The same bass. So he bought that for me when I was in high school, when I was 15. And it was like 200, $37 or something at All Star Guitar.
Gift in Napa. For a high school.
I was so undeserving.
I love you.
Relationship.
So much.
My God,
darling.
Did you want it or something, or did he just kind of buy this for you out of the blue?
He came and saw us play in Spokane recently, mm-hmm. and I like told him about how. I don't know, whatever. Just was asking him about when he first gave it to me. He said that I saw it and I liked it. So he like saved up and bought it for me.
You don't even remember?
I don't remember. I just remember getting it and being totally shocked and wondering what he wanted me to do with it.
You didn't play it for like 10 years.
No, right. Literally 10 years. He taught me how to play part of the bass line from Reptile by Nine Inch Nails. So I learned how to play like the first four or five notes. Yeah,
I can't remember how that goes.
And
dude, you owe this guy big time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
You owe him $237. Exactly.
Inflation, though. You know?
Yeah. That's like $500. Well, today's money, right?
Yeah. We made a pact that if we were both still single at 30, that we would just get married and have kids because... Just to make sure it happened. Because 30 seemed so old
so
at the time.
So old.
And I'm 32, and I guess we missed our window.
did you guys call each other when you turned 30?
He's a year older than me anyway.
Okay.
But how would that work?
We both had loafers at the time.
Oh, loafers.
Loafers. But yeah, he bought me this bass, and I definitely was in my head was like, this guy's totally nuts. What does he think I'm going to do with this thing? And I like really thought like, okay, only people who are really special play instruments, and you know, it comes to people naturally, and I'm never going to like, what am I supposed to learn? It really just did not compute. Like, there's, musicians in my family. My, grandpa was a bass player. My uncle plays guitar. One of my uncles was in Captain Beefheart. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
One of your uncles was in Captain Beefheart?
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Oh, my God. Tell that. How does that work?
I don't know how that works. I was always, this is our Uncle Richard who lives, now he lives in a trailer on the pretty, like 3 hours north of here on the edge of Vancouver.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He,
like Langley or something like that? Or
I don't know. But I do know that he was like banned from Canada several times. But his wife lives in Canada. So
Still married?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So he gets kicked out and then he hangs out in this trailer and then goes, I don't really know.
I always imagined he was like just a lonely hermit.
The first time I met him, oh my God, another gun story.
Yes.
The first time I ever met him, we went up to our family's property for the first time.
Uh-huh.
Basically, there's this really shitty piece of land up in Trinity County in California, that my grandpa won during a poker bet, mm-hmm. which, by the way, my family is Mormon. So gambling is big. No.
Yeah.
But he won this little chunk of property up there. So I don't know, since my grandpa died, like the family owns it. And Richard is not supposed to. I don't know what the deal is. He's not supposed to be living in this trailer. So my mom was taking us for our first trip up to the family property to go stay in this like weird trailer. That's
this thing up in North
Trinity.
Washington?
No, not yet. Totally different trailers.
Oh my God.
He's a trailer man. Come on.
This is the first time I'm meeting my uncle. But
okay. And how old are you?
Nine.
Nine. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe 10, actually.
Did you know he was in like a, you know,
Captain
fairly Beefheart. Popular band?
Not yet.
Okay.
I was probably 9 when this happened.
All right.
So we pull up to the property and we're all like, oh, it's a scary old trailer, like in the middle of the woods. Different than I was expecting. Anyway, have no idea Uncle Richard's going to be there, but we pull up onto the property and this man in a robe is standing on the porch with a shotgun. And then as we pull closer, it goes, and my mom's like, stay in the car, lock the doors. And then my mom kind of came out of the car a little bit and was trying to talk to me. She ran back in the car and we just like peeled out and drove away.
Richard.
Yeah.
Really?
Her brother.
And that was?
Good old Unky Richard. So then, God. I don't know what happened, but like a year later, he came to live with us. So me and all my brothers were terrified of him.
Uh-huh.
But he lived in our garage, which was freezing cold. I don't know anyone would live there. But he lived in the garage and in exchange for rent would clean our house. And we always thought he was cool because he played guitar. So he'd sit in the garage and just play guitar alone.
It is cool.
Would not really socialize with us. And we would watch him through the windows and stuff. Yeah. Like,
well, he must have been pretty damn good, man. Because Captain Beefheart was crazy.
Yeah, he was like really good. He
got super orchestrated Frank Zappa kind of stuff, man.
He got picked out of a bar. Like he was,
really?
He used to play in this bar. Somehow these pictures of him just resurfaced from his first band, which was called the Fantabulous Jags.
Okay.
They were well known for having these massive pompadours. And this is like early 60s. So. Oh, yeah.
Or late 50s or something?
No, no, because it was, the pompadour was like facetious, you know, it was like poking fun at when people really did
wear
the pompadours.
Yeah. Outsized.
Yeah, it's kind of like how people wear like blossom clothes now.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Anyway, so they're like this big and they have awesome outfits or whatever. But
I think I've seen those pictures.
You probably have. I just saw friends of mine post those on Facebook and I was like, dude, that's my uncle. And they're like, no. I was like, that's my uncle.
No, right. That's crazy.
So Unky Richard would like play guitar in the garage, and me and my brothers would spy on him all the time. And the only times he'd really interact with us were, I can remember the few times, one of the first times was he just deep cleaned my mom's house and bribed us all. He was like, okay, you guys, we're making a deal.
Yeah.
If any of you catch one of the other ones eating in any of the rooms that is not the dining room, I'm going to give you a candy bar if you rat out your sibling.
What?
And we were all like, fuck yeah. Of course. Anything for candy.
Grandy.
Grandies. So my oldest brother is like, he's 13 years older than me. Uncle Richard really liked him. So he was a teenager when I was like a scrubby little 9-year-old.
Yeah.
And so this one time, Jason, my oldest brother, was like watching a movie and eating cookies, and he could do whatever he wanted because Uncle Richard liked him. He hated all of us.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting on Jason's lap and he like gives me a couple bites of his cookie. My little brother Patty sees it and he runs and tells Uncle Richard what I did. I got slapped.
You got slapped?
I got slapped, which my parents
on didn't. The face?
Yeah.
What?
My parents didn't slap us. We'd get spanked sometimes, but never a
did
slapping.
You tell your parents?
Oh yeah, I told my mom. My parents were separated that time. Yeah, so he didn't live there much longer. But
my God.
He referred to me and my brothers as absolute swine at some point. And then my mom kicked him out.
That sounds... I was laughing before, but that's not funny anymore.
It's kind of funny.
Was he using that accent like a crazy person?
Swine!
Nothing but swine.
That's just how I've always imagined
Uncle
it.
Uncle Richard, man.
We
really
were
went
like,
downhill.
We were like the nicest, most well-behaved kids, too, and up to a certain point. So it's like, I mean, I can't believe that.
Jeez.
But I'm still curious. You know, I'm curious, like, if he would... if we would get along now or if he would.
Yeah,
he
you guys might, you might be able to, you know, carry on a conversation about touring or something like that. You know?
I don't think so.
No.
Oh, so this is how he was discovered by Captain Beefheart. He was playing in this band, the Fantabulous Jags.
Right.
They were a band in Denver.
And he was a guitar player.
Yeah. Lead guitar. And, they were on tour and had a day off. Like I can imagine us doing the same thing. Like have a day off. I guess we could just go see the show tonight. And then they saw him playing. They were like, we simply must have him.
Wow.
So they asked if he wanted to join the band, and he joined. And he was in it for a minute, I don't know, a short period of time.
Uh-huh. And then he pulled a shotgun out.
And then he's kind of nuts and got the boot, I guess.
Brother.
Oh, my
God. Oh, brother.
So how did you two meet?
Oh, yeah.
Was it college?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah?
It was college. It was college that did it.
And you were both. How did you find each other? Because you weren't playing bass at this time yet, were you?
At this time.
Picked it up?
A little bit. Had just picked it up.
Okay.
After 10 years.
Right. Right. I'm gonna teach myself how to play this.
I was like really depressed and like I had a bad breakup and the person moved out, so I was like just moved to Oakland. uh-huh. had no friend, had not made friends at school yet.
Yeah.
Was like living alone in this apartment and just depressed, had no money, couldn't even drive home and like visit my family or old friends. And,
yeah. That stinks.
Yeah. You gotta... And it was like, I just noticed the base in the corner one day, but I never, it's like, I never even thought about it. It just seemed like, it's like if someone gave me, a math textbook and a whiteboard and like a dry erase marker.
What?
Like,
10
teach
years
yourself
later?
And solve some
right
equations. Like, that's, you're crazy, man. Anyway, so I just like noticed it one day.
Yeah, yeah.
And started playing it.
But we were at art school in Oakland, Oakland, California. And we had a class together like the second year, I think. We were there. And I think it was just everyone, like we found the three people in class that made anything that was any good, which was me and Shannon and our friend Kalisa and who else? Maybe no one. I don't remember. I don't remember who was in the
Chris
class.
Chris Hallery.
I don't remember who was in that class or not, but,
Esther.
Oh yeah. She was in there. Oh, that's right. I remember. But yeah, we found all the people that were doing anything good, and then we just made friends.
And started making music from there, or what? Like,
So Shannon used to practice in my house when I lived in a big house with like five people, and the old drummer, she went through a bunch of drummers, right, and then started practicing at my house with my roommate who played drums. This cool, weird.
And it was just
dude.
Bass and drums at that point?
Yeah. Shannon and the Clam started as just bass.
Oh, really?
I was just performing like at open mic nights and stuff like that.
And were you nervous when you first started just like playing by yourself?
Yeah. So Cody invited me to play a house party at his house where we practiced. And I was like too embarrassed to play alone. So I got these other dudes I knew to play in it as a band.
Yeah.
And so we performed there. Actually, Cody was recording it, right? He was video recording it.
Oh, I think I maybe filmed it. I don't know.
We have to find that.
I don't think we'll find it.
It's so horrible.
We won't find it.
Anyway, yeah, so he recorded it, and then the guitar player in my band, we're friends now, but he was so mean to me, like so abusive, and like he was really good at guitar and knew a lot about playing, and I knew nothing. I was maybe like 3 months into playing bass, and I would sing at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I wasn't pretending like I knew what I was doing at all. I was very conscious of the fact that I was pretty terrible.
But you're just going
just
for
doing
it
anyway. Yeah. Fake it till you make it.
Right.
You know, and I knew like the process was good for me, and I was getting something out of it. But he was so just like hateful on everything I did. Anyways,
he didn't. I mean, you guys had very different styles. I think they were trying to do two different, completely different styles in one band, and it didn't.
Yeah, work. He was like Sonic Youth, and I was like the Paris Sisters or something.
Right, right.
But so our friends that also lived at the house that were also in this 4D class with us at school kept telling me like, you know, Shannon, Cody would probably be such a good guitar player in your band, like. You might like how he plays guitar more, and he's way nicer. And I was like, I already have one guitar player. I don't need two. And they were like, no. You know, you could, like, get rid of the other guy.
I think.
I was like, well, I can't fire anyone. You
yeah,
know,
like, how do I have that this conversation?
This band is going to go on for, like, one more show, and then it won't exist anymore. I really had no idea that I'd ever play beyond an open mic or a house party, you know. But then one day I heard Cody practicing our songs in his room with the door closed. And I was like, oh my God, that's the sound.
I could do that better. Because I'd hear them practicing and be like,
You'd be snickering in the dark alone.
Yeah. Now, was it always kind of this sound too? Was it kind of like this throwback? Yeah.
It was a lot stupider. It was a lot simpler.
So, I think right before this, I'd gotten into... I got into the Cramps and like Hank Williams and like Woody Guthrie and stuff. I was playing like sort of country stuff, but also like weird, like nasty kind of surf swamp
and old, right old like Americana.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was like right before that, I don't remember what I was doing, but I think I had had like a lull where I like wasn't exploring new music. And then when I moved to California, like I was like checking out all this new stuff and
yeah.
So it was like learning those songs and
Has there always been kind of an obsession for you two with like that era?
Mine was like light and came and went. I think I had I have an aunt and uncle in Montana that or like they grew up in the late 50s and like were high school sweethearts and have been married for like 50 years.
Uh-huh.
And they, I used to go to their house in the summers and they had like a jukebox and had like this diner set up in their kitchen and stuff.
Oh,
and
oh, that's awesome.
It's really cute. And so I remember hearing all that, like they had 45s in the jukebox.
Yeah.
Like, we'd go hang out there and they'd like put on all these old songs. And I remember hearing that stuff really for the first time and be like, whoa, what is going on? This is like, sounds like magic stuff.
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I was into that for a while, but then when I got older and got into like the hard stuff, like heavy
your
shit.
Dark era,
yeah, my dark period. But then I came back around later.
Uh-huh.
I think what brought me back in was like hearing surf stuff again, and I started kind of playing that style, and I was like, oh, there's like all this old music.
Yeah, that very like reverby, yeah, tremolo kind of sound.
Yeah, I think I moved away from surf like pretty quick. Like it was like my entry point. And I was like,
oh, yeah, but it's still got stuff. That same kind of tone.
Yeah, yeah.
To the
yeah,
guitars.
Same tone. Yeah.
That you guys, that you guys like, have right now.
Like back then, that was the only tone. Like there wasn't another
right.
tone.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was what a guitar sounded like.
It was very tinny.
Yeah.
Everybody played everything in phase. Like the pickups are right. in phase
yeah.
with each other.
Yeah. They're
never totally. Out of phase. Never yeah. muddy.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Just
yeah.
like clean and like reverbed.
Right. It was either that or like jazz tone.
Right. Yeah. Right? Like super,
super over warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Shannon's staring at the ceiling now.
Goodbye.
So you guys started playing together and did it immediately just kind of click?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For you?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
He got it, man.
Yeah.
I knew.
And what was the first, what was the first show like?
Sweaty, weird party somewhere, probably. I don't know. We played in people's living rooms a lot.
Yeah.
Once Cody joined the band, we were playing like twice a week at all the house parties.
Yeah,
and
it's crazy. Yeah, because there was
so it came together pretty quick. Like you guys, people wanted you to play there?
There was the art school was like someone was having a party every week.
Right,
and
right.
They just were like, we want bands. Who plays in a band? Somebody. Yeah. We need like band at this party. So there was a high demand for bands.
Yeah.
I think it was mostly the art school because that's like what our community was at that time. And then
the art school, but then we had this crossover with these guys that we called the Lost Boys, who are all these like weirdo kids that hang out on Piedmont Avenue, this like really rich street in Oakland. But the boys are either like, you know, the kids of millionaires and they live in mansions in the hills or they're, you know, actually
street
homeless.
Kids. Yeah.
And they're just this crew of best buds. And like, they
just
were always trying to get us to play stuff.
Really?
Like, yeah, we played
just throw weird parties and like,
we played in a ballroom in it's like the basement of this kid's mansion in a ballroom.
What?
It was like the movie Blank Check or something.
Yeah.
It was like pool table and like giant toys everywhere. And like
yes.
photos of him. Like all over the place.
Everywhere.
It's like a five-story house. They had a tennis court and a pool and all this stuff.
Yeah,
it was
insane. But then we've also played like...
the same kids lived in a warehouse in Oakland that was
in
just...
tents. In
cement,
the...
like windows on one side, gigantic, full of tents. Everyone just lived in a tent.
Really?
Disgusting.
Yeah. But I mean, whatever. They had
cool.
fun. Yeah, we played on some buses. We played in the woods. We played everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like we played a bathroom.
I don't think
we've played some kitchens.
Yeah, I've never played a bathroom.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Played a kitchen.
We're not joking. You are joking.
Long time ago.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're now what? Four albums in?
Yeah.
This is the fourth.
And it took you about 9 months, you were saying, or 6 months?
To
write and record this thing?
Yeah. We wrote it pretty fast. We just were decided, like, let's meet
yeah.
4 days a week and work on it for
that
a month.
That worked pretty well.
Yeah, we wrote it really quick and then recorded it in a week and then mixed we did like another week of
we extra. Could have used 2 weeks of recording though.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we kind of rushed it actually. I wouldn't do that
again. I wish we had like another 3 days for recording and then another 3 days for mixing or yeah. for mastering.
I guess it was about, I don't know, it was probably like 4 months of actual recording and then another whatever.
How was the writing process though? Like, were you guys just coming in with like separate ideas for songs and stuff and then just working on it together?
Some things we would like jam on a bit, but this album had less jams, like working together. Like,
yeah.
Usually we have a few songs that someone does like a riff and then someone's like, oh, let me see what I could do.
Yeah.
And then everyone's doing, you know, whatever. People call that jamming, right?
Yeah.
Okay. People in America call that jamming, right? But on this one, I was doing this thing I'd never done before. Like normally I would maybe write a bass line in my room and then bring it and like be super nervous for days before I'd show Cody and then he'd listen to it. And
sure.
We'd work on it. But I started going to the practice space, which I didn't utilize by myself ever before. And I would go in there and set up the microphone and actually play through an amp. It just made me resolve any bumps I had in songwriting a lot faster.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
I don't know why I never thought to do that.
Was it a personal thing? Like you weren't allowing yourself to do something like that? Or was it what?
I don't know. It just didn't occur to me, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And also I was really fucked up at the time and needed to be out of my house, but I was afraid to be in public anywhere. So the practice space was just like a perfect spot for me.
What do you mean by fucked up, if you don't mind me asking?
I was just really depressed, had a break up, like really long relationship come to an end. Sort of suddenly. And I was just having a hard time with it. And he lives a few blocks. He lives like 3 blocks away from me or something. And then my brother lives with him, who I'm really close friends with. And he and my brother and my best friend are in a band together.
Oh, no.
Like, you know, so you're just surrounded, inundated.
Right,
And he, I'm sure, is too.
Yeah.
Feeling the same way.
Yeah, yeah. So is some of this record like about that?
Yeah.
There's some emotional stuff in there, I can tell.
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Is Cody writing songs about your ex-boyfriend too?
Are you?
No.
He did. The ex already declared to Cody that he would never listen to this record.
Yeah.
Without even knowing anything about it.
Right. I don't know. I don't know if he said never. He was like, you have to forgive me if I don't listen to the record when it comes out. Because I
probably
know what
shouldn't.
It's all about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not mean.
I don't think so either. I think that's kind of like a, you know, wait a couple years.
Yeah.
I think he should probably never, this person should stay away from it forever, probably.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't think he should, because I think it's a freaking great record. And no matter who it's about, they're still solid songs. And I think you guys did a great job. Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, I'm super impressed with it. And like I said, like I really, really like hearing music that can kind of jettison me into feeling like I'm in a different era, or just like give me that, you know, that that emotional state, you know, where you're really connecting with something.
Yeah.
You know, and it alters your state of mind a little bit.
I like that too.
Could you tell who is singing which song on this record?
Like between you and Shannon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Why do you think it?
Can't.
No,
really?
like recently, what was the magazine? Impose magazine or something was like, wrote an article about a song. We like released a single and
Shannon croons away on this.
Yeah. Just like talking all about Shannon and like Shannon's heartbreak and like Shannon's voice on the song that I'm singing. And then I kept tweeted at them twice. I was like,
yeah, yeah.
Shannon doesn't sing that. Cody sang it and he wrote it. They never responded or changed it. It still says that on there.
Really?
People can't tell.
Really?
I thought they changed
no,
it.
No, I really, and this is actually one thing I wanted to say to you guys too, is like, I really like the dichotomy of your two separate singing styles. Like you've got that very classic, Shannon, you've got that very classic, like female voice, like from the 50s, where it's almost, And I don't know how to really describe it without saying, like, it's almost Winehouse-ian, you know, and how you reach, reach certain,
Are you sure you're not thinking him, Cody?
No, come on.
No, because Cody has that more gritty, like, 50s, like, Sonics.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost totally. Kind of style of singing to him. Yeah. I think, you guys just gave each other a look.
No, I was like, yeah, that's right. And Shannon was like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I feel like my voice is really gritty.
It is really grittier.
Is yours gritty?
Yeah. Grittier, yeah.
Oh.
He's definitely got a gritty
voice. I'm just so used to him. I feel like he has the little beautiful voice, and I have like this like this scary.
Well, no, and that's what it fits. It fits with the kind of music that you guys play.
Yeah.
I would say that your voice, Shannon, is smoother than Cody's.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Cody's got that kind of almost like the beginning of like the grunge kind of, 50s Sonics, early Rolling Stones kind of thing. You've got that
husky
at some female. At some points, very sultry tones to your voice. And I love it.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. So congratulations on the record. Thanks. Comes out on Friday. It's called Gone by the Dawn.
Yeah.
By Shannon and the Clams.
Gone by the Dawn.
And you can find out more about it by going to shannonandtheclams.com. Is that where you'd like people to go get the record? Or come out to shows and see you guys on tour, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
come to shows.
We're touring.
Touring in support of the record. How long are you guys going to be out on the road?
5 weeks.
Five weeks, man.
Very long time.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Nothing.
But
we do that all the time.
It's been a long time since we've done 5 weeks. Yeah. But it's not just 5 weeks. It's 5 weeks, and then we're home for 6 days, 5 days.
Uh-huh.
And then we go to Europe for a few weeks.
2 weeks.
Dang.
Not even 2 weeks.
Do you guys look forward to that?
Europe? Or what?
Yeah.
The whole thing?
Yeah, like doing the tour.
Yeah, because it's weird because when you go, then you stop thinking about anything else.
Right.
You don't have to worry about anything. Anything, unless something goes wrong. But generally, most days you're just like, I'm just reading a book all
next
day.
Next stop.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Or, yeah, you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, it feels kind of pathetic because it's like I'm so exhausted on tour. Like after
you're
driving
not doing
7 hours
anything.
Or whatever,
that's
I'm watching like
man.
The third season of The Killing all day long, and then I get out of the van with sea legs. I'm like, God.
Yeah. Love it. I love
it. What kind of coffee does this town have to offer me? Shut up, Siri.
Well, I really appreciate you guys taking the time to chat with me and come up here to the backyard. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Honor and a pleasure to meet you both.
Thanks.
Me too.
Finally. Oh man, that was good for me. That was good for me. Was it good for you? Did you enjoy it? I hope you guys did. I know that I had a great time talking with Shannon and Cody. You can see them live coming up Friday, September 11th at the Great American Music Hall in San Francisco, the El Rey Theater on Wednesday, 23rd of September in Los Angeles, California, Pappy and Harriet's Pioneertown Palace in Pioneertown, California. That was a lot of peas. A lot of peas. Good thing I got a pop stopper on here. Thursday the 24th, they'll be at Pappy and Harriet's. Let's see. Constellation Room at the Observatory in Santa Ana, California, Friday, September 25th. The Casbah, San Diego, September 26th. And on and on. Go to shannonandtheclams.com. Find out more. Get your copy of Gone by the Dawn. And it's just fantastic. Fantastic, folks. I love it. I'm absolutely in love with this album. So get that September 11th. There you go. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes. And if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. Only takes a couple seconds to leave us a little star rating right there, and it helps in the long run. We're also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, and Cairo Radio apps, and now on Spreaker, Adore.com. So you can find it there as well on the Adore Network at adore.fm. Or just visit our website at www.air-raid.net to subscribe directly to the RSS feed and access all the archives right there, right there. All 266 episodes right there for your listening pleasure. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/theairraidpodcast. Our Twitter handle is at airraidnet, or email me directly at aaron@air-raid.net. And remember to take the pledge, folks. Take the pledge to tell someone about this show. Bring it up in conversation. Subscribe your friends while they're not looking. That always works. We're going to close. Oh, wait. Yep, we got an inspirational quote. Here's your inspirational quote of the week as said by a four-year-old.
Daddy makes bathrooms smell bad.
And there you have it. It doesn't really have anything to do with any. I don't know if it's inspirational or not, but it's definitely informative, right? We're going to close the episode with the song My Man by Shannon and the Clams off the new album Gone by the Dawn. Have a great week, everybody. Wrapped in my eyes.